today was one of those times for me that as I studied this week, there were two thoughts that really were really bearing on my mind, and you just have to turn to the Lord and ask Him to lead. And so one of those I had the opportunity to try to bring before you this morning, and so we'll look at the other one, excuse me, here this evening. Having a hard time with my voice, so I'll try to do the best I can. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I have some scripture that I would like to read. And I'll begin reading with verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Paul writing here to the church at Corinth, and in this chapter he had been talking to them about the resurrection. And in verse 51 he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I would like to use the title tonight, Better Farther On. It will be better farther on for those of us who are saved. And in this writing here, the Apostle Paul, somewhere around 2,000 years ago, maybe a little bit less than that, but somewhere right in that general area, he wrote these scriptures to the church at Corinth. He, under the inspiration of God, he penned these things down in an epistle to the church at Corinth. And when he did that about 2,000 years ago, he was telling them about an event in the future. And that many years later, as I stand before you and read them to you this evening, we're still talking about an event that's in the future. Now, the Apostle Paul, he had no idea when he wrote these scriptures how long that it would be before God would bring this to pass. And you and I still today have no idea how long it's going to be before God brings this to pass. What we do know is that we are approximately 2,000 years closer to it than what Paul was when he wrote it, as it has turned out. And so, but even with that, we don't know how long that time is going to go on. We don't know how long it's going to be until God brings an end to time, and we don't know how long it's going to be until these scriptures become a reality unto us. But They certainly, to me, they lend great comfort, because these are things that we know, that we can know about, that we know is waiting for us. You know, there are so many people in the world today that just don't have a concept of what's ahead. They're really, you know, it's sad, but there are many people today that are drifting aimlessly through life, not knowing what's ahead. And they don't have anything to grab onto. They don't really have anything to cling to and any hope to, you know, anything to look forward to. They just don't understand what is ahead. And that's sad to me. And I'm thankful that I know what's ahead. And I thank God for His Word. And though I'm somewhat in the dilemma tonight that the Queen of Sheba was in when she came to hear the fame and the wisdom of Solomon. You see, she had heard about his great wisdom and the things that she was able to, or that he was able to discern. And so she came, she journeyed and came to Solomon to bring before him many questions. And Solomon was able to give her answers to all of her questions. And after that happened, she told him that she realized that though she had heard of his fame and of his wisdom, that the half had not been told to her. And so I have that dilemma tonight with trying to preach these things about what lies ahead for the children of God, because I guarantee you that you could sit tonight and listen to the things that I say, and when you die and leave this world and wake up in heaven, that if you were able to call back to me, that surely you would say, Brother Miller, you didn't tell half the story. You didn't tell half the story. And so I realized that handicap and that dilemma in preaching this type of message. But I do hope tonight to look at these scriptures and use them to lend comfort to us, because we need comfort along the way. I mean, we all need comfort along the way. If you face life, realistically, life can be very difficult. It can be very hard. And I'll tell you what, I spoke here just a few weeks ago on Sunday morning about the great blessings of God, and made reference to many ways that the Lord has blessed us and does bless us here with things in this life, and made reference to several temporal blessings that the Lord bestows upon us. But regardless of how good that God is to us here in this life, and how greatly that He has blessed our life here in this world, the best is yet to come. And it does get much better farther on. Now, we've got a bright hope. We've got something wonderful to look forward to. And I'm glad that there's something lying ahead that's better than this. And I told the church in that I feel that the Lord has blessed my life and blessed your lives. And I still feel that way today. But we just haven't yet seen what God really has for us. And we're not really going to know. We're not going to really know its full beauty until we experience it. We just won't really know. But Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, and he said that he was in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. Now, you know, for people that have been saved, for anybody that has been saved by God's grace and has not yet experienced that type of yearning, I'm going to say that in most cases it would perhaps be maybe a young Christian that was just recently saved. Because it appears to me from what I have felt and what I have heard other people testify about, that after that we are saved, as we go through this life, that from time to time, that just crops up in our heart. That feeling that Paul had comes upon our hearts. And he had a desire, while he was living here on the earth, he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, knowing that it was far better. But he also knew that it was needful for him to abide in the flesh and to do the work of the Lord. But now, as time goes on, I believe that we all perhaps begin to look forward to that more and more. And one of the reasons is we begin to tire. That's just a fact of this life, isn't it? We begin to tire. And I thought about that yesterday, and you know, I don't know what the Lord has in store for me. You don't know what He has in store for you, and the Lord may allow me to preach the gospel until I'm 75 years old. I have no idea. He may give me another 20 years or so to preach. You know, I really don't know what God has in store for me, but I do already realize that I'm getting tired. Because even at the age that I am, you know, I don't have the energy that I had 20 years ago in any area. I mean, we just our outward man perishes. Day by day, that's what the Bible teaches us. Day by day, the outward man perishes. And so we begin to grow tired. And you know, when I think of oftentimes when you're working, when you're laboring with your hands and you're doing your work and your secular labor and you're performing your secular task. And I know with me it was has been this way a lot of times. In the middle of the day, you begin to look forward to the evening when you might go and rest for a while. And as we labor for the Lord, as time goes on, we begin to look forward to evening. And we begin to think about resting. And I think about the place that we as the people of God have to retire. We got it, you know, God has a great retirement package. Nobody has ever matched God's retirement package. And so even though we think about our bodies growing tired, and one day God calling us into the dust of death. Paul wrote here about a great hope of something better. Our inward man, he said, is already being renewed day by day. But Paul wrote about a great change that will take place in the body. And God will also change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And that's something to look forward to. And that's something to have great anticipation about. And you know, the things that the Lord has prepared for His people, we ought to think about them on a regular basis. Because I believe that if we do, it will inspire our life. And it will inspire us to go on. And it will inspire us. And if we think about the things that the Lord has done for us, and the things that He is doing for us, and the things that He is going to do for us. Now, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. And I know tonight that many of you here can relate to this very thing. There have been times when God has moved upon my heart, His Holy Spirit has moved upon my heart and just blessed me to the point that, you know, it just didn't seem like the body would be able to take it. And there have been a few times in my life where the Lord has blessed me enough that I get beside myself. Paul used that term of getting beside himself. I think that's what happens many times when we see somebody lose control and they just begin to shout and rejoice. They just get beside themselves in the Lord. I mean, the blessings of God are great in this life. The things that God, those spiritual blessings that God can give to us in this life, and there have been times in those things when the Lord would just be blessing so much. And then I would think about and realize that this isn't the half of it. I mean, we've only just begun. And so Paul said that we would not all sleep, but we would all be changed. And it'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you know, the Apostle Paul wrote, and I want to speak about this for a few moments. The Apostle Paul wrote about his constant battle that he had with the flesh and how that he had to keep the flesh under subjection. And sometimes the flesh is hard to subdue. Sometimes it's a challenge to keep the flesh under subjection. And oftentimes I know and realize that this flesh hinders me in honoring God the way that I should honor Him and the way that I would like to honor Him. So often we are hindered by the flesh. Or perhaps I should say we let the flesh hinder us. But one of the great thoughts to me about what lies ahead, and one of the ways that heaven is going to be far better than what we've ever had here, is that we will be rid of the hindrances and we'll be able to give God a much more perfect praise than what we ever have down here. And you know, oftentimes, when I think about my Christian life, I think about the ways that I have failed the Lord. I think about the many ways that I have failed Him, the way that I have, shorted God, the way that I have fell short in His service, and, how that I have just oftentimes just not accomplished the things I would have liked to have accomplished for Him. And when I think about those things, it gives me joy in my heart to be able to look forward and to realize that a better day is coming, and to realize that there's coming a time when time and the infirmities of the flesh and these things that do hinder me here won't hinder me anymore. And I'll just be able to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to praise Him. I want to praise Him because God is so good and God is so worthy of being praised. And so often here we're hindered by so many things, and we let things hinder us. We allow things to hinder us. But the day's coming when I know if God delays His coming, someday they're going to take this body of mine and lay it in the ground somewhere. I already told my wife, if she can, what I want her to put on the grave marker. I'd like to send a message. Even in that, wouldn't you? I told my wife, I said, someday if you bury my body, I want you to put on the marker, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Somebody walks up to my grave, that's what I want them to see. I want them to know that though I'm absent from the body and not here in this life anymore, that I'm at home and present with the Lord Jesus Christ, praising Him without any hindrances, without anything to stop me. So it's going to be better in the by and by. Had some good meetings, been in some good meetings here in this life thus far. Look forward to perhaps being in many more great meetings with God's people. But the greatest one I have yet to attend, when we gather around the throne there in glory, with all the hindrances of life left behind in new bodies, and begin to praise the Lord around His throne forever and forever. Nobody will be worried about going home. We'll already be there. We'll already be there. It encourages me and helps me to press on towards the mark. And I believe that it helped Paul. And Paul had a tough life. He had a tough life. I mean, he was imprisoned, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten. Paul had a tough life. But he was able to write or to sit and to pen these things down under the inspiration of God and said, well, I know what's out in the future. I know what lies ahead for me. I know there's a day coming that God will raise me up and give me a new body. And we'll be able one day to look at death from the other side. Right now, we're seeing it from this side of the grave. But one day we'll be able to look at it from the other side of the grave and say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? And so let us do as Paul wrote to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Seek after heavenly things. Seek heavenly thoughts. I'm afraid that we all spend way too much time with our thoughts upon the things of this world. Think upon the things of God and heavenly things. And know this, that it gets much, much better farther on. Brother Sanford, if you would, I'd like to ask the congregation to stand and let's have a song this evening. I don't believe we've done this in a while. While we sing, let's come in and have a Christian handshake.
Number 37.
Often I'm hindered on my way, burden so heavy, most fall, then I hear Jesus sweetly say, life with all its strife.
and tears. Many a heartache may hear upon, but the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling and pain I will endure, till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all.
66.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day.